We'll begin this morning in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. We'll begin with reading Psalm 26. Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in my truthfulness. I have trusted also in the Lord, I shall not slide. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my heart and my mind. For thy loving kindness is before my eyes, and I have walked in thy truth. I have not sat with lying men, neither will I go in with hypocrites. I have hated the congregation of evildoers and will not sit with the wicked. I will wash my hands in innocency. So I will go around thine altar, O Lord, so that I may cry out with a voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wonderful works. Lord, I have loved the dwelling place of thy house and the place where thine honor dwells. Do not take away my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloody men, in whose hands is mischief, and their right hand is full of bribes. But as for me, I will walk in my truthfulness. Redeem me and be merciful unto me. My foot stands in an even place. In the congregations I will bless the Lord. We'll sing hymn number 4 from the Favorite Hymns of Praise. Hymn number 4. Continue our reading of the history of the early Christian church as the Holy Spirit has recorded it for us in the book of Acts. The reading this morning in chapter 12, beginning at verse 1. Now about that time Herod the king stretched forth his hands to trouble certain ones of the church, and he killed James the brother of John with a sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had caught him, he put him in prison and delivered him to 4 sets of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him out to the people after the Passover. Therefore Peter was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing unto God for him by the church. And when Herod desired to bring him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between 2 soldiers, bound with 2 chains. And the keepers before of the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shone in the prison. And he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, Rise up quickly. And his chains fell off his hands. And the angel said to him, Gird yourself and tie on your sandals. And so he did. And he said to him, Throw your robe around you and follow me. And he went out and followed him. And he did not know that which was done by the angel was true, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and second guard, they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them of its own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. We'll sing hymn number 94. In place of the gospel reading this morning, we'll read the sermon text for the day, which is rather long, so we'll read it at this point rather than during the sermon. It's recorded in 1 Kings chapter 18, beginning at verse 22. The reading goes to verse 40. Then Elijah said to the people, I alone remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Therefore let them give us two bulls, and let them choose one bull for themselves, and cut it in pieces and lay it on wood, but put no fire under it. And I will dress the other bull and lay it on wood, and put no fire under it. You call on the name of your gods, and I will call upon the name of Jehovah. And the God that answers by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, It is well spoken. And Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, Choose one bull for yourselves and dress it first, for you are many. And call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under it. And they took the bull which was given them, and they dressed it, and called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any who answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. And at noon Elijah mocked them and said, Cry with a great voice, for he is a god. Either he is meditating, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or perhaps he is asleep and must be awakened. And they cried with a great voice and cut themselves with knives and spears until the blood gushed out upon them, as is their way. And when midday was past, and when they had prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, it came to pass that there was neither voice nor any to answer, nor anyone who paid attention. And Elijah said to all the people, "Come near to me." And all the people came near to him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, "Israel shall be your name." And with stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench around the altar big enough to contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order and cut the bull in pieces and laid it on the wood and said, "Fill 4 barrels with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice on the wood." And he said, "Do it the second time." And they did it the second time. And he said, "Do it the third time." And they did it the third time. And the water ran around about the altar. And he filled the trench also with water. And at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, Elijah the prophet of the Lord came near and said, "Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, for this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their hearts back again." Then the fire of the Lord fell and burnt up the burnt offering and sacrifice in the wood and the stones and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, "Jehovah, he is the God. Jehovah, he is the God." And Elijah said to them, "Take the prophets of Baal. Do not let one of them escape." And they took them. And Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and killed them there. We'll sing hymn number 169.
Thank you.
There are a few times in history where the power of God is dramatically displayed, and where everything is black and white, and there's no gray in between. And we have one of these instances in the text this morning. Imagine in your mind the beautiful Mount Carmel jutting out into the Mediterranean Sea, surrounded by water on three sides. It's called the Park Place. A beautiful, beautiful setting, the lights of which is hard to equal anywhere in the world. And on top of that mountain, a large group of people. 450 prophets of Baal, 400 prophets of the groves that eat at Jezebel's table, representatives of the children of Israel, wicked King Ahab, and one prophet of the Lord, a man called Elijah. And the fire is about to fall. A shootout on top of Mount Carmel. Elijah puts it this way: "You men number 450, and I'm only one. You go first." What odds he was fighting against. 450 prophets of Baal and only one prophet of the Lord. Now, if this surprises us, for sure it shouldn't. Because just as the flock of Jesus is a little one compared to the multitudes that follow the devil, so also it would seem that the true prophets are very small in number compared to the multitudes of the false prophets. Jesus warned us about this when he sat on another mountain. He had just left the temple for the last time. He went up to the Mount of Olives and he sat down there. And his disciples came to him and they pointed out the beauty of the temple that he had just left. And he said to them, "Truly I tell you, that there shall not be one stone left standing upon another in this temple. This thing is going to be torn to shreds." And shaking their heads in almost unbelief and disbelief, they asked him to give them some signs of his coming and of the final days and the end of the world. He did. And among the things that Jesus said was this: "And many false prophets shall rise and deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." Now these are not my words. They're not even the words of an angel. They're the words of the Son of God. "Many false prophets shall come," he said, "and shall deceive many." And these things are unfolding under our eyes today. This is exactly what's happening. The greatest danger you and I have as children of God is the false prophets. And this is why Peter, just before he died, warned us of the very same thing. 2 Peter chapter 2. "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not." Now these were not mere idle warnings. These things are happening in these final days. They were happening also in the days of Jesus, and they were happening in the days of Elijah. "You guys number 450, I'm standing here alone, so you go first." And the ground rules were these: each group, Elijah and the prophets of Baal, had one bullock, and this was what was to be sacrificed. They cut wood, they put it upon the altar, they put the bullock upon the wood, but no fire. And then he said, "We'll pray. You pray to your gods, I'll pray to the Lord. And let the God that answers by fire, let him be the God." And the people said, it is well spoken. And I think the hearts of the prophets of Baal began to beat a little bit faster. Because you see, Baal was the sun god. And Elijah was playing right into their hands. If any god could answer by fire, it was Baal. That's what they thought. The deck was being stacked in their favor. And so excitingly, they put the wood on their altar. They sliced up the bullock. They put him on the wood. And they started to pray to their god when the sun came up. And they prayed and they prayed and they prayed and they prayed. And nothing happened. And then finally the sun came right above them, 12 noon. If ever there was a time that Baal was going to answer, it was now. And Elijah started to mock these guys. Hey, what's the matter with your God? Maybe he's on a journey. Or maybe he's pursuing somebody. Or maybe on a vacation. Or maybe he's sleeping and you got to wake him up. You better yell louder. So man, they did. They started jumping on that sacrifice and hopping around, and they took swords and spears and cut themselves, and their own blood was gushing out. All afternoon, and the sun kept going down further and further and further, and they kept this up. And finally, they couldn't yell anymore. And the sun started going down just about the time of the evening sacrifice. But after all of this, all day, they were met with a stony silence from heaven. No surprise here at all. Psalm 115 says it all. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither do they speak through their throat. They that make them are like unto them, and so is everyone that trusteth in them. Little wonder then that Baal couldn't answer. There is no Baal. He's a false god. And the statutes of Baal, the statues were made by human beings. They gave him hands that couldn't do anything, and eyes that couldn't see, and ears that couldn't hear. Well, now the sun started sinking beneath the distant mountains. The day is almost over. There's not much time left. The 450 prophets of Baal have used just about all of it. But that's all right. Elijah gathered the people around, said, crowd around here now. Went over to an old broken down altar that used to be used to serve the Lord, but the thing had been broken for years and years and years. Nobody bothered about it anymore. And he repaired that thing. And he chose 12 large stones, one stone for each of the 12 tribes of Israel. And he rebuilt the altar, and then he dug a trench around it. And he put some wood on that altar. And by the way, the word wood here is the same word that many, many, many times in the Bible is translated tree. That's not surprising because you know wood comes from trees. And he put that tree or that wood on the altar. But then he did an odd thing. 3.5 years the famine had been in the land and the drought, and there had not been one drop of rain that fell. But there was still one brook at least that had some water in it. And that was the brook Kishon that was located up on top of Mount Carmel. Rather odd place. So he told the people to take 4 barrels full of water, get it from the brook, and just douse this sacrifice. So they did. And then he said, do it a second time. So they went down to that brook and got 4 more barrels, poured it on the water, or poured the water on the sacrifice. Said, do it the third time. So the third time they did it. There was so much water there that it ran off the sacrifice and it filled up the trench. No way that that could possibly be burned. But then he prayed, Elijah prayed, and he said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me. that this people may know that you are the Lord God and that you have turned their heart back again. And everybody stood around watching. Nobody thought anything would happen. But all of a sudden, just at the very time that miles and miles away over in Jerusalem, a lamb was being sacrificed on the altar. At the same time that was happening there, all of a sudden, fire came down out of heaven and it burned up the sacrifice, burned up the wood, and even licked up all the water that was in the trench. A dramatic, sudden miracle that none of the prophets of Baal expected, and I don't think any of the people did either. But they couldn't deny what had happened. All of a sudden, the people cried out, "The Lord, He is the God! The Lord, He is the God!" And Elijah then, one more thing had to be done. "Seize the prophets of Baal," he said. So they grabbed them, 450 of them, took them down to the brook, and they killed every one of them in the waters of the brook. And all of a sudden, the waters of the brook turned red with the blood of the prophets of Baal. Why did Elijah do that? Because God told him to do it. That's why. Deuteronomy chapter 13. "If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams and gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or wonder come to pass whereof he spoke to you, saying, 'Let us go after other gods which you have not known and serve them,' you shall not listen to the words of that prophet or dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him, and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and shall serve him and cleave unto him. And that prophet or dreamer of dreams shall be put to death, because he has spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt." The false prophets then, you see, are doing a very, very dangerous thing. The stakes are high. We're playing for eternity here. We're not playing for peanuts. And so it was up on top of Mount Carmel. There was a contest up there. There were going to be winners and there was going to be a loser. The winner would die or would live. The loser would die. In this case, there were many losers, 450 of them. The ones who were the false prophets. The ones who were trying to steal the souls of the people so they'd go down to hell forever and live with the devil and steal them away from God. And this is why the false prophets were dealt with this way. They were killed. And they should have been. And so the day on Carmel ended. It wasn't quite over yet, though. One thing is going to happen yet. We'll get into that, God willing, next week. But for right now, there's a brook up there that is stained with the red blood of these prophets. Now you look at the difference between the prophets of Baal and Elijah. What difference really was there? Elijah was a sinner just like the prophets of Baal were. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There was no difference here. Elijah didn't have any magical powers that the prophets of Baal didn't have. The difference was found in the God that was worshipped. There were two sacrifices there. The prophets of Baal prayed to Baal to have him devour that sacrifice, but Baal didn't do it. Elijah prayed, and God came down and devoured the sacrifice. That was the difference. You know, fire had come from heaven before. There were other times that God had devoured a sacrifice with fire of heaven. One time, he even destroyed some cities by fire and brimstone from heaven. You know the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. Sometimes fire comes in judgment. Sometimes it comes to purify. On Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came in flames of fire and sat upon the heads of the disciples, the apostles. Didn't destroy them, but purified them. The difference is in the sacrifice. Now, everybody knows that God is love. That's true. But God is also light. And sin is going to be answered for one way or the other. God is not simply going to overlook sin and pretend that it didn't happen. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And when God sent His Son to Calvary, Jesus was hung on a tree, and fire came, and there was an offering made that day. You know what Jesus said after the 3 hours of darkness? He said, "I thirst." And He thirsted because God had punished Him in hell. All the sins of the world were put on Him, and God, fire came from heaven and punished Him there. Now Jesus offers Himself as a substitute. "I went to the cross for you. I took your sins on Me. Now I will give you My righteousness. Only believe. And then come and take up your own cross every day and follow Me." And that's the thing. The sin question is going to be dealt with one way or the other. It's either going to be dealt with in Christ, or if you don't accept Him, then you're going to pay for that yourself. That's the lesson that the prophets of Baal learned. I wonder how many of the people learned it. When the day began, Elijah pointed to them and said, "How long are you going to halt between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow Him. If Baal's God, follow him." They didn't have an answer. Now they had some evidence. We only pray that the Holy Spirit mixed faith in their hearts with what they saw and what they heard. And the same thing for you and me. May the Holy Spirit dwell within us and give us a saving faith, that we may not be misled by the false prophets, but finally at that day, being covered with the righteousness of Christ, enter into His kingdom of eternal glory. Amen. We'll have a prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank You that You have climbed the mountain of Golgotha for us and offered Yourself for our sins on the wood of the tree. And we pray that You would also send Your Holy Spirit into our hearts. Keep us from the poison of the false prophets which is being spread so liberally in our own day. And give us hearts that have a love for You and follow You every day wherever You go. We look forward to Your coming as You promised, "Behold, I come quickly," and we respond, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Amen. And now, in preparation for the Lord's Supper, we have a reading from the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning at verse 23. "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is My body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of Me.' In the same way also He took the cup when He had supped, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in My blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you show the Lord's death until He comes. Therefore, whoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a person examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he who eats and drinks unworthily eats and drinks condemnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many among you are weak and sickly, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world." All things are ready. Those of you who would like to take the Lord's Supper, you're welcome to come. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. When He had given thanks, He broke it
gave it to his disciples and said, "Take it. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." And after the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, he gave thanks. He gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and drink all of it. This cup is the New Testament of my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Now may this true body and blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve each one of you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Depart in peace. We'll now join in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. We'll sing hymn number 413. Yeah, 413. Thank you.